Let's say again, we're glad to have you with us tonight. It looks like that fall will soon be over and winter will be sitting in. I want to read just a little bit from the book of Zechariah, chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. Don't forget to pray for the coming crusades. There's quite a number of people that are talking about going into the Philippine Islands over in Manila for this coming crusade. Quite a number of folks. And there's a possibility that we might be able to work something to where you can economize. We've just received some prices, price list sheet. And since Brother David Paul's worked it around to where we have an agency of our own now. It's making a tremendous difference. And some of the things, that is of the prices, it is concerning clergy. But there's some fantastic prices that we've been given because of this. And we are we're trusting the Lord that we can work some of it to your benefit. I don't know just how much. There's a number of them that want to go into the Philippines. And, we're supposed to have the Nigerian meeting, maybe the Ghana meeting, before we go into the Philippines, which means we'll have to return into Africa and be there for a while. And then after that, just be a short time before we go into the Philippine Islands. I'm looking for a great meeting, in the Philippines, but I'm also looking for a great meeting in Nigeria. I feel like God is going to greatly bless us in Nigeria, even with the problems on the advertisement over in Kenya. We still had about 10,000 people, and just being over in the Philippines for one night, there was about 10,000 people. I thought it was about 7,000, but said it was about 10,000 people that we ministered to there. So I'm looking for a real respond over in Nigeria and over in the Philippines. And if you're planning to go to the Philippine Crusade, then you need to let David Paul know, because he's trying to get together the different ones that are planning to go. I don't know that when we go to Nigeria that we'll go to Israel again, but I may. 6 times we've been there, and the Lord seems to have led us there. And then this last time I had seen a vision where David Paul and I was over in the Holy Land. And it so worked that we went to the Holy Land after the Kenya meeting. It just worked out fine for it. And I don't know that we'll go after the Nigeria meeting, but there's a possibility that we may, or we may go after the Philippine meeting. I really don't know. But I do feel like that maybe we'll go back over again and do what we can in the land of Israel. Every time we go, we score a victory one way or another for Christ. And this is, of course, good. A lot of people have the weird idea that you're not supposed to go preach to the Jews. I don't know where they get this. They come up with some kind of idea out of the Bible, you know, that because the Bible speaks of a nation being born in one day, that you're not supposed to go try to preach to the Jews. But the Bible says to go into all the world, which takes in Israel, and preach the gospel to every creature, which takes in the Jewish nation. And I remind you again, when the Bible speaks of the whole house of Israel being saved, as it is written, out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. It is the reference of that is to the book of Revelation where the 144,000 is sealed as 12 tribes, 12,000 to each tribe, being the tribes of Israel or the sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel because he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He received the name Israel because he became a great prince with God. And that is the house of Jacob being saved, or the whole house of Israel being saved. The deliverer comes out and he saves. And of course, that is when they recognize the nails in the hands of Jesus. And they ask him, where did you get the nails, or the nail prints? And he says, in the house of my friends. But we go to preach to the Jews just like we do anybody else. We spread the gospel in literature among the Jews. I tell you again, to begin with, there is no such thing as a Jew. Those people in Israel are not Jews. They are, many of them are Israelites, but not Jews. Because the Bible said there is no Jew outwardly. He that is a Jew inwardly, he is a Jew, the true Jew, which means there is no Jews except you and I who have been born again, and we are the spiritual Jews. So we go to preach to those people just like we would the Japanese or the Chinese or anybody else. And I was just thinking today, just speaking to some people about thinking about Russia and China having gone into communist China and having to go into communist Russia. I find those people to be just like all other people. There's a lot of things said and a lot of talk, but when you get right down to it and you go in there where those people are not busy trying to have war. Those people are busy trying to get a biscuit and have a place to live, and they're just common people that you talk to, and you don't feel war on their mind, or you don't pick up war in their spirit. They're just trying to make a living, and they don't know what all this war thing's about any more than you do. This war thing is a political thing of money men and of monarchs in the world today, and they're just beating the brains of common people out on battlefields to raise the economy. And it's very pitiful. You go there and you talk to them, and hundreds and thousands of them just rush in to get the gospel. So the Bible said, into all the world, the gospel to every creature, and that God has prepared all men's hearts alike to seek after God. And I find that to be an absolute fact. So we need to pray. Pray for leaders of the world. Pray for all people. Ask God to save people and do what we can to be holy and godly and pure in every deed, in every thought, that we might be a light to the people. The Bible teaches that we are the light of the world, and that we should so let our light shine that men should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And if we don't have any good works, it's for sure that they're not going to see any. So we can't be a light. So let's all pray toward this crusade, this coming crusade. Pray that God will help us to reach those people. We got a letter from over in Korea, the Presbyterian preacher there that's over 1,000 preachers, has made a tremendous fuss over the literature, and he says the whole world needs this literature, Brother Pike. He said we need millions of pieces of this literature, and he says, I want to be part of your operation at Bethlehem. And he also is ready to do some translating for us. He's an excellent translator, as far as I know. And he also has found some buildings, auditoriums, or whatever, wanting us to come into over into Korea and have a crusade in Korea. And this is the same way that we find it all over the world. They want us to come into Russia and have a crusade in Russia there. The Baptist people are asking us to come in and have a crusade there. They have our literature and they've made a fuss over it. And everywhere that we go in the world, they're pleading with us to come. Even the crusade in Kenya, they say many people was won, and they're still pleading with us to come back already and have another crusade. And we just have closed out the crusade. But nevertheless, and they want to start churches in these areas. They want to start the Eternal Abundant Life churches in these areas. And they write and they say, Brother Pike, we want to do exactly what you want done. Just exactly. Said, send us the disciplinary sheet and tell us what you want. And we want to do exactly what you want done. Said, we want to walk with God. They have great confidence in this ministry, for which I'm very glad. But we need to pray, because when you go into those places, you run into devils and demons. Not that you don't run into them in America. I don't know of any place in the world that's got any more devils and demons than America. But nevertheless, when you go overseas, you run into demons and devils. And if you're not prayed up, if you're not fasting, if you don't have power over those things, then you're going to be taken in by these devils and demons. You know, there's one thing we need to understand, that the average individual in the world today don't know anything about evil spirits or devils and demons. The Bible said God sent his word and cast out the unclean spirits by his word. And he healed the people by his word. And most people don't know. They don't understand. It's like Peter. Peter was saying, nay, Lord, be it far from thee. No one is going to hurt thee, Lord. And he had his sword with him. And he didn't know that was a devil talking. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of the flesh, or the things that be of the world, not the things that be of God. And see, people are so easily swept off of their feet by devils. Like Mary over there, she had seven devils. So you can have all kind of devils and not know anything about it. Because to people, devils are some horrible, hideous thing that kills. You know, that's cruel. And they never know that devils are slick-tongued, worldly, gossiping, backbiting, gullible desires. See, devils present themselves to you in the form of thoughts. They bind your spirits. And the shrewdest devils in the world, the most powerful devils in the world, the most controlling devils in the world are religious devils and devils that love the things of the world. For the Bible said, if the love of the world be in you, the love of the Father is not there. And as it was, Jesus said, Satan, you're the prince of this world. You love the things of this world because you're cut off from heavenly things. And you seek an empire of the world. And all of the governmental powers of the world today are controlled by Lucifer. And the entire world today is under the control of Lucifer. He is the prince of this world. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me. So then all of these things that you see in the world, they're satanic. But you are not of the world. For the Bible said, I've chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring or restitution of all things. Which means as your inter-angelic being, as it was when Peter got out of prison, came to Rhoda's house, they said it's his angel, Peter's angel. Your inter-angelic being is translated into the kingdom of God when you become a Christian. And that inter-angelic being is holy and godly, pure, and never in your life at any time does Satan ever touch it. The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. And you are without spot, and you are without wrinkle, and you are without blemish. And we as preachers are here to reveal the great eternal benefits given to you in Christ before the world ever was brought to light at Calvary. We are here as helpers of your faith to reveal these things to you, in that faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God, and to make known to you your inheritance as children of light, an incorruptible inheritance, as I preached to you the other night, that fadeth not away. So then you are children of light. That day shall not come upon you unawares. Ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. But upon the world, it shall come upon the whole world as a snare of all them that dwell on the earth, and they shall not know. For the Bible said, they shall not see when good cometh. For having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. And they cannot understand. For the Bible said, Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good cometh. So then they don't understand devils and they don't understand demons, but you do. You are people of another world. Though you have the benefits of this world through the filter of the blood of Christ, and though you own the world and all therein, and the Bible said the world and the fullness thereof belongs to God, yet it is in an unredeemed condition right now. So the Bible said, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. And I remind you again that when Jesus said that he loved the world, the Bible said the Father of light, even God, the great Spirit, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem the world, and that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he so loved the world, but I tell you again, he did not and does not so love the world in its wretched, ugly, corruptible condition. It is under the curse, and to show you that he doesn't love it, he's going to burn it. John said, I saw the nations of the world crumble to the earth. All of the great cities like London, Atlanta, and other places, they're going to crumble to the earth. God does not love the world in the condition it's in. He so loved it as it was in its virginity stages when he created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. It was such a beautiful, holy thing. And he gave his son to redeem it, to bring it back to the millennium, to the great garden earth, to paradise, that he might place his love and blessing upon it again. But at this time he says, come out from among the people of the world, or come out of the world, and be a separate people, and touch not the unclean things until God can redeem it. And we only have access to the things of the world through the filter of the faith and blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible said the faith of Christ by which we're sanctified. So I want you to think on that and remember that devils and demons are sly and cunning, and they so easily swallow up multitudes of people. But you don't have to be swallowed up of demons. I had a young man to call me today, the telephone. He was talking to me, and a wife had stepped out for a little bit, and he was telling me how that he said, Brother Pike, I let myself get loose for about 5 to 7 years. And he went on to express himself, and I summed it up as lounging around like an old pig in a mire or the hog trough, taking up time with the opposite sex. And he said, just anything and anybody that come along. And he said, during this time, Brother Pike, he said, I was a Christian. He said, and I just got demon possessed. For numbers of years, I did this. Of course, he was thus telling me of his innocency, you know, in that he was a Christian and this devil just made him do all these things. And I let him finish. I let him go and say everything he had to say. And when he got pretty well down to the end of it, he said, you know how it is with a Christian being possessed? I said, no. I said, I really don't understand that. I expressed to him in so many words. I said, because in the first place, Christians are never demon possessed. I said, you don't ever find a demon possessed Christian. I said, a Christian cannot be demon possessed. There's never been a Christian demon possessed. Demon possessed. When you say possessed, you're talking about possession. You're talking about ownership. And the devil and God don't own you at the same time. The Bible said you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. So there's no such thing. You might be demon oppressed, and the devils might give you a hard way to go in that you get careless in your prayers, and you can mess around and get bound by spirits. You know, a devil is like a spider. A spider goes to catch a fly, and he'll make that thing sparkle like the dewdrops. Like diamonds in the dewdrops of the morning, and he'll catch that fly, and it becomes an enticing thing, and the fly can kind of bounce up and down. It's kind of a joyful sort of a thing. But after a while, he throws another web around him and another web around him until he slows him down and until he pins him down, and then all the joy and jubilance, as we would say, concerning the world is out of it, and all of this flighty way of life as to the gullible desires of the flesh, the devil has webbed you in, and it's not sparkling anymore, and you find out that the little drink and the little frolic and the little sidelines as to the places you ought not to be and the things that you've seen, whether in the movies, on TV, or in magazines or newspaper, or the things that you've messed with, or the things that you have eaten of, spiritually speaking, has killed you. So you eventually find out that the spider has webbed you in like the fly, and then you're closing for the kill. So I said that to say this, that demon spirits, you don't want to play with demon spirits. You don't want to mess around with demon spirits. You want to follow Christ just as close as you possibly can and stay free from all of those things. Because when you play around with the world, you get bound. When you play around with Satan, you get worldly minded and you get gullible for the desires of the things of the world. But he that is a Christian, he doesn't do that. You can get careless, as I said, and you can get bound to the extent that you get slack in prayer, and Satan can bind you to the extent that you get weak. The Bible said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And he'll bind you, and then he'll kill you physically. He'll bring a disease on you, or he'll bring oppression on you, or grievance of heart until you just die out. You'll get to where you can't respond to the things of God. You don't have any joy. Like David of old, when David got into that web, David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Well, anyway, this young man, he was telling me of all of his innocency. He was talking to me about it and going on as to work. He was so innocent. It was this big, bad devil that had him and just made him just lust and go after the things of the flesh and be gullible, you know, and he satisfied all of his filthy greed, but he was so innocent. And I let him know in just a few minutes that it wasn't like that at all. He went after his greed just as you do or I do or anybody else that turns ourselves loose, because we are covetous, we are lustful, we are gullible, and we want the things of the world, and we're willing to push God aside just to get out into the mire and satisfy our old gullible desire just as the prodigal son did. So, or would have, had he not thought of the Father's house. See, so when you do those things, you are guilty. You are guilty. He wasn't a Christian. Had he been a Christian, he would not have done those things. Somebody said, well, I know Christians, and Brother Pike, they do those things. You've never seen a Christian do those things. Never one time. Never one time. And I say this so often, someone says, well, I know Christians, and they was good Christians, and they went back into the world, Brother Pike. You've never met a good Christian that ever went back in the world. There's never been a Christian that ever went back in the world. Never. There never has been one. Somebody said, well, they backslide. God said, I'll heal your backsliding. He healed the backsliding of his people at Calvary. And when you say they go back in the world, so, well, I know they went back. The Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were not of us. That's why they went out from us. So you can get bound, not in that you'll go out and do the evil, wretched things of the world, but in that Satan can cause fear, anxiety in your thoughts and all kind of things till he can make you fruitless in God, to where you just get in as if a fire. The Bible speaks of some people, just one fiery trial after another and one repentance after another, and just toss about every way. They finally make it in, just a wreck through life, and they don't bring any fruits to perfection. But there are those people that really get down to business with God, and they fight the devils and demons off because they don't faint in the day of adversity. When the devil causes them trouble, they are filled with the Spirit of God, and they're filled with the strength of God, and they have their shield of faith that quenches all the fire darts of the wicked, and they put to silence the mouth of wicked and evil people, and they stop the thing right where it's at. So I felt like saying those things to you because I got that call today, and I just marvel. I'm going to repeat this again tonight. I've said it before, and I'm going to repeat it again. I never will forget, in a city, I was there in a meeting. This woman came in, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you just a little. And when she came in, she came up in the prayer line. I prayed for her, and we was having a good meeting. And afterwards, the woman came straight to me and said, "I want to speak to you, Brother Pike." I said, "All right." She said, "I want to ask you what you think about a certain thing." And I said, "Well, what is it?" And it had to do with the A.A. Allen magazine. A lot of you know A.A. Allen. Great figure, mighty figure in the earth. And she said, "I want you to tell me what you think about this." Said there's a certain woman, kind of parabolic like, and this woman was a Christian, possessed with the devil. And she went to A. Allen's meeting, and he cast the devil out of her. She was supposed to be a preacher. And said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "I think it's a lot of foolishness or something about like that." I said, "Ain't nobody never cast no devil out of a Christian." And she just looked at me so strange, and she said, "What if I told you that it was true?" I'd say, "I tell you it was still foolishness. No truth to it." She said, "But what if I tell you it was me?" I'd say, "I'd tell you the same thing, still foolishness." I said, "When I picked up the magazine," which was a few months before, I was in another town, I said, "I saw the article." I said, "And I expressed it to my wife and some of the others, a bunch of foolishness." I said, and she got so tore up, she didn't know what to do. Now, I said that to say this. When you got a devil and you're playing around with a devil, he don't come out that easy. And if you're a Christian, you don't have him to start with. And so it wasn't long before I was having a tent meeting over in another place, over in another state. And when I looked that night, here come two women into my tent. And one of the women, all of a sudden, she jumped up in the tent and said, "There's all on my hands," which Allen taught, these kind of things. So she run up on the platform, and when she run up on the platform, she said, "There's all on my hand, all on my hand." And my audience didn't know what to do. I just told them to just be quiet and reverence the Lord, which they did. And she went on and on and on, and finally she found out she didn't get no response, so she went and sat down. Well, then we went on with our services. After that, I was down at another church. I was at an Assembly of God, big two-story Assembly of God, and I was running a revival there. And while I was preaching, here this woman come again. And when she come to me, she said, "Brother Pike, I want to make a confession." And I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "You know the night that we come under your tent, the woman jumped up on the platform and said, 'It's all on my hand and everything.'" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, Brother Pike," said, "we was headed for Arizona to the A.A. Allen meeting. Said it was woman with woman working that which is unseemly." She confessed her sins. So the demons hadn't gone anywhere. And it didn't have anything to do with Christianity. She wasn't a Christian at the beginning. She wasn't a Christian then. They were all in a mess. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then the truth will stand. It'll always stand. What is right is right. And you that are Christians, you don't have to fear demons. And the one reason you don't have to fear demons is because the Bible said, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not." So we don't have to worry about that. What we need to do is get down to business. Don't let the devil create a lot of fear. The Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Don't be messing around with non-virtuous things. The Bible said, "If anything have any virtue in them, think on these. It is the power of virtue," the Bible said, "that went out from Jesus' body and healed the little woman. It is the power of virtue that went out from his body and healed the people. For the Bible said wherever he went, virtue went out of his body and healed the people. And what we want to do is think on anything that's virtuous, to store up God virtue in our minds and God virtue in our heart, to be separated from the world, to be a chaste virgin. Paul said, I seek to present you to God a chaste virgin, and store up this virtue which is the Spirit of God, that you be filled that virtue to where you can bring healing to the people and you can do something for those that are without. Now, I've talked to you quite a bit, so I probably won't preach to you for just a few minutes. But anyway, chapter 10, the book of Zechariah, I want you to read with me. Beginning at the first verse, it said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have been a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the street in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. And I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in four countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Now, it says here that if we will ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, that if we should ask rain in the time of latter rain, he said, I will make bright clouds. Now, a lot of people don't even know what the latter rain is. When you speak of the latter rain, they don't know what the latter rain is. If you speak of the former rain, they don't know what the former rain is. But if the Lord is speaking of a latter rain, then that means there has to have somewhere been a former rain. There's a former rain, there's a latter rain. And if there is a former rain, then that rain was sent for a reason. Having been brought up on the farm, I know for sure that when we planted, we had to have a former rain. And then in the end, we had to have a latter rain. And it is the former rain that comes that causes the clods to be softened as to the seed being under the ground. When the rain begins to come, this rain comes moderately. For the Bible said, I've sent you the former rain moderately, and it'll come moderately to pulverize to the extent that it will cause the ground to become soft, and the little seed can be nourished from it. And then when the heat comes down from the sun, it begins to heat up this soil. And when it begins to heat up the soil, because the soil has a fertility in it, then all of a sudden it begins to woo this little seed. And this heat around it begins to warm it, just like a hen setting on an egg. And all of a sudden this little seed begins to swell up because it absorbs this water. It begins to get soft from the water, and it begins to swell up. And the heat heats the little seed to cause it to suck the water inside or to absorb the water. And all of a sudden, the little shell, the crust, or what's referred to as a stone will break open. And then on the inside, that little bitty bit of life will begin to come out. It'll begin to push its way out. And the soil being soft from the moderate rain, all of a sudden it's able to push its little way right through the muddy surface and stick its little head up. And after a while, the sun pulling and pulling and pulling will pull it right on out of the ground. And so then we have to have this when the seed is sown. The preacher will sow the seed. He'll preach to you and he will drop in the seed. And then the moderate rain of the loving and the wooing of Christ will come. And as it comes, as Father, Son, Holy Ghost, as we say as to the Son, we say as to those things that represent the three of the Godhead, these things work together in a Trinity. They're all one, but they work together in a Trinity because there's but one God, they're all one. But in this Trinitarian work, they work together and they pull this little seed out, as we say. You know, the preacher, when he starts preaching, sometimes he can get kind of rough. Like overseas, when we preach strong. And sometimes we scream and we holler. We pop our hands, you know, and we're moving about. Because we are dealing with devils and demons and we are plowing. When I was a boy and I'd go out to the field to plow, I'd throw that plow into that hard ground. And sometimes we'd strike ground that had not been plowed for years. We'd throw that plow into the ground and we'd pop the horse on the side with the reins and he'd start straining and struggling. Great big horses or mules, and they'd pull that plow through the ground, sometimes a two-horse plow. And they'd pull it through and you'd see the furrow leap up. They'd just get to going so fast they'd just be spinning out. You know, they'd do the same thing with a tractor now. But anyway, we'd throw that thing into the ground and sometimes it would hit a root. I've seen that plow point break, or I've seen that thing hit a root. And both horses would stop. And then they'd back up and hit it again until it cut through it. And sometimes they'd hit a root and just break through it. It wouldn't even stall the mules or the horses. See, and going along many, many times, going along, they'd be going along and all of a sudden that fur will pop up like that. And I'd look and a great big old snake would come out and be laying there. Sometimes a huge snake, Highland moccasins. We had a lot of Highland moccasins in this one place that I have on my mind right now. See my granddad shoot them out of the tree. And we'd be plowed along and up come a serpent. See, and that's the way the preacher does. He throws in the plow. And then he pops the lines and all of a sudden, you know, you get a little bit stirred up. And that thing hits you and it just breaks you up into the fallow ground. It just tires you up and pulverizes you. Because when we'd go through there with the plow, after that we'd take what we called a cutaway harrow. We put heavy weights on it, had a lot of blades on it, and then we'd get up on the top of it and walk alongside of it, and we'd run that thing over the ground and just cut it all to pieces. See, sometimes it looks like that a preacher is just chopping you to pieces. I mean, he's just cutting away because he's got to break up the fallow ground. When you come out of the world, you're so hard-hearted. And you are so stony-like in your ways. Sometimes you plop a lot of stones. Sometimes you hit a big rock. It takes a lot of effort to get it out of the ground. But the thing is, he chops and he chops and he plows, throws in the cutaway harrow until you're just cut all to pieces. He preaches so hard, and about that time, you'll see a big old serpent come out. Then he starts beating on his head. I've stopped the horses many times and start beating on the head of the serpent or get a stone to kill him with, or sometimes the horses would trample him. See, because you are filled with devils and demons and evil spirits, like Mary that had seven devils. The Bible speaks of that old serpent, the devil. See, and it has to be plowed up. It has to be gotten out of you because you don't see it. You don't know it's there. You don't understand. You've got problems, but you don't know why you've got problems. Your remorse, your cast down, your trouble, you don't know. You don't understand. See, but it's devils and demons. And a lot of times you're a jolly good fellow. You want to turn up the bottle. You want to follow the wine bottle. You want to dance. You want to frolic. You want to go to the things of the world. You're right after the things of the world. But as far as you're concerned, see, there's no devils and demons to that. There's no devils and demons to that. That's just happy. That's your happy life. You know, somebody says you've got to be jolly. You've got to be happy. You've got to get with the world. You've got to do the things of the world. This is just living. This is joy. This is what God wants. That's wrong, folks. That's devils and demons and preachers that tell you that. That's the voice of devils and demons. It doesn't matter how religious they are, what a fine fellow you think they are. That's the voice of devils and demons. The devil savors the things that be of this world, and he'll put you over here as being a good neighbor so that he can lift you up in some place as a celebrity or make some kind of a person of frolic out of you, or tell you that you need to be some great celebrity, a follower after the systems of this world, as to have great money value, to be rich and all of these things. The Bible said that's foolishness. And it speaks of the preacher, and it tells him not to follow after riches. Though the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow, and he gives you the desires of your heart. Yet we're supposed to have those riches and those things on the line for God. According to the Bible, we're supposed to take all that we've got. In the early church, it said, sell all that you've got. That is, sell out to God and give it to God. They brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet, and they had all things common, which means not getting together in a commune, but they just had average things in life. Unless God gave them things, otherwise that's all they had. And when they could sell whatever they had, they sold it, and they fed the widows and the orphans. For I remind you again that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions, and then keep yourself unspotted from the world. So then, the world today, the church world today, it's going in a different direction. It's being taught different. Satan has got into the preachers. And the Bible said they've transformed themselves by the renewing of their minds, as Paul said. And they've transformed themselves into ministers of light, which means ministers of the word, which is light. So they minister the word of light. But in all reality, their desire is to their belly. The Bible said, for all of their labor is for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. And the Bible said, God has put the old serpent on his belly. So all of his labor is for his belly. All of his labor is for his mouth, because it craves it of him. But when we really get down to business for God, it's self-denial. It's taking up your cross. It's following after Christ. Wherever I am, there my disciples shall be also. See, so we're following after Christ, and we make this a lifestyle, and we become what the Bible calls a peculiar people that is zealous of good works toward God. We come out from the world. We are separate people. We don't touch the unclean things, and then God receives us, and we become children of light, and we become eternal creatures that can never die. You pass from death unto life. So then, this is what the Lord is telling us. See, we get the devils and demons out of us. The preacher, he preaches. He breaks up that fallow ground. He just cuts it all up every way. And then when we got through with that, the next thing we would do would take what we call the drag harrow, which had long, sharp prongs on it. So many of them. Put weights on it, and then we'd throw that out in the field, and we'd keep dragging and dragging until we just pulverized the ground. Just pick it up like that, just, you know, soft and just like sand. And then when the drag harrow hit it, it would take out all of the snags, all of the old pieces of roots that we'd plowed up and cut up. It would take out all of the grass and like you take Bermuda grass, a lot of roots like that. We'd just take it, drag it out. It'd be nice and clean, and then we'd throw a plow in there, and we'd lay the furrows out, lay the rows out. And then we'd go back with the planter or hand sewing, and we'd go back and we'd field that, and then go back, cover it over. And then when we covered it over, we'd get to what we call a layback time. See, and we could throw horseshoes, or we could do whatever kids did around or on the farm there, go down the swimming hole. But anyway, when we got through with that, we was ready, because we had put the fertilizer in, we'd put the seed in, we'd done all we could, and we'd just take layback time. And then the God of heaven would send the rain. Paul said, I plant, Apollos watereth, and God giveth the increase. And then comes the rain. The rain began to come. seeing as the rain come down upon it, it began to soften that thing and get it just right. And of course, as the little sprigs begin to come up, not only did the corn and the cotton, potatoes, whatever we planted come up, but it was also that we'd look in a little bit of Johnson grass, as we called it, come up over here, a little bit of Bermuda grass come up over here, and we'd start having to chop. We'd have to bust the middle. Sometimes the middles, where there wasn't any seed planted, it would mat over like that, and we'd have to go down the middle and bust the middles and throw the furrow over to the corn when it got so high. Go down there and bust it, because those roots would just keep on working down through there till they would get around the roots of the corn or the cotton, whatever it was. See, we had to bust out the middle. Now, I'm saying that for this reason. The Bible said to leave them alone and let them grow together. It said if you pluck up the tare, you'll get the wheat. Because a lot of times the tare will get its roots right around the corn and whatever it is. And when you come up with it, then you'll get it too. So you'll get the good as well as the bad. So in the world, not in the church, the Bible said purge out the old leaven in the church. Be clean in the church. Don't ever let a preacher tell you that God meant for all this mess to be in the church. The Bible teaches that we're not to do that. And if one gets so bad as to a fornicator, the Bible said cut him out. Turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that God may save the spirit of Christ which is in the church. For a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, and one rotten limb can take the life of a whole tree. One cancerous spot on a body, if it isn't cut off, can take the life out of that entire body. And so the Bible said to save the life that's in the church, in the body of Christ, then cut out the cancerous part. Get rid of it. Turn that person over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. God does not mean for them to grow together in the church. He said let them grow together in the field, which is in the world. They can grow together out in the field, but not in the church. So then we see here that he is telling us that if we pray in the time of the latter rain, he will make bright clouds. We see that there is a former rain. This former rain has to do with the Jews as to the former house. And the former rain was moderately in that God sent it, but it was a veiled glory. And I said the other night, Paul said in this glory of the former house, it had no light, it had no glory by reason of the light of the latter house, which is the church, the light of the world. The former had no glory to the extent that this light that has come to you in the end time is so far greater. This light is eternal life, and this light makes you sons and daughters of God right now. It causes you to pass from death unto life right now. And it brings you the mind of Almighty God and brings you into the presence of Almighty God. And as to your inner man, it takes you out of the flesh, out of the world, and translates you and transports you into another world, into the heavenly world. That you're not of this world, you're not in this flesh. God has chosen you out of this world, and God has chosen you out of the flesh. You don't have any interest in the flesh. A person that has interest in the flesh or the love of the world in them, the Bible said the love of God is not there. So you don't have that. You have the love of God. You have the love. You want to be about your Father's business. You want to do the things that God wants you to do. So then he said, ask of me in the time of the latter rain. Folks, we're moving into the latter rain. See, the first was the former rain as to the law, as to the understanding of the law, even the letter that killeth that I spoke of the other night. But this is the latter rain as to a word of spirit and life. And God is literally pouring out of his word, of his knowledge, of his life, of his spirit upon all flesh. Because the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement. And at this time, even the devils and the demons can receive mercy. Let's give him a hand. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Prove it by the Bible. That's what we're here for. You don't believe anything except the word of God, because faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And if it isn't faith, then you cannot be saved, because you're translated into the kingdom by faith. Just like Jesus went into the land of Gadarenes, the land of Gadara. When he got there, the devils run to him and said, have you come to torment us before our time? He said, if you're going to cast us out of Legion, let us go away into these swine. Israelites. And God gave them mercy to the extent that he did not destroy them because it was not time for the judgment upon them and let them go away. In this day, even the devils and demons have received mercy to the extent that devils and demons are living in human bodies, and human bodies have a day of grace in that the blood is on the seat of atonement. And as long as these human beings have this grace, devils and demons live within those people, and they come to church, and the Bible says concerning Job that in the days of Job, when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, that Satan came also because he was in those human bodies. And today, when you go to church, devils and demons are there too because they are in the bodies of unbelievers, and they come in the day of this grace to hear this wonderful word of God. But you don't let them become a part of the church. Though Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans, saying that it's not the well that need a physician, but the sick, yet he never did accept any of them into the number except Judas. And he said, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. And he chose him for one reason, and that is someone had to betray him that he would be crucified, that salvation might come. So we see in Peter, when that voice began to say, Nay, Lord, be it far from thee, that Satan was trying to make Jesus melancholy and cause Jesus to get his mind in such a place that he wouldn't be willing to go to Calvary. And if that should have happened, I could never have had salvation. So Jesus immediately said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of the flesh and not the things that be of God. So when you savor the things that be of the flesh, that means that you don't savor the things that be of God. So I'm saying this to you tonight, that you are fortunate. You're Christians. You're sealed by the Spirit of God on the inside. And the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That is the change, all the redemption of your body. The Bible said the coming of the Lord, Thessalonians, will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye from mortality to immortality, and that we're to comfort one another with these words. So I could go on and go on saying things to you, but I talked to you a little bit before I got to preaching to you. And let me say this to you just in the way of a little exhortation tonight, that if you ask of God at this time, he'll make bright clouds. Bright clouds. You know, somebody says, I'll cloud up and rain all over you. And there are people that can do just that. They're so full of the Holy Ghost, they can cloud up and rain all over you. And there's some people so full of the devil that they can cloud up and storm all over you. They can cause a cyclone in your life. So then we want to be those that ask in the time of this latter rain for the bright clouds, that we might be able to water the grounds that need watering. Let's everybody stand together. I appreciate you coming out to be with me tonight. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we, Brother Taylor? Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let us enter these courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made. Can you sing with me? For Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me. Sing it with me now. Let us enter into these gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let us enter into these courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made. Glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Call Jesus. Sing it again.
Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter into his courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice, cause Jesus, for Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice, Jesus, one more time. Going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter into his courts with praise. I'm going to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice, Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, folks. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Let's wake up tonight. I don't know what's wrong with us tonight. Let's love the Lord. Tell Jesus we love him. And let's worship the Lord. Sing that again. I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter into the courts with praise. I'm going to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice, cause Jesus made. Can you rejoice in Christ? Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you give him a hand? Let's sing another little chorus or two. Sing that song, There's Room at the Cross for You. Can we sing it together? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. While we're singing, the altars are open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross where I
life,
and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet, oh sweet spirit, sweep over my. Can you sing that with me? For we've anchored our soul in God's haven, cover us, and I'll sail the wild sea. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Sing that with me. All right, banker. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Can you sing a chorus or two with me tonight? Let's sing this little chorus. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home. Up there where angels shall sing. Sing that with me. For we're longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shall sing. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water that was. For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her water and she went forth to tell. She went away singing and she came back bringing others to the water. doesn't run the world.
You love the Lord? Let's give him another hand. Let's sing this little chorus, Frank. I've turned it all over to him. I've turned it all over to him. This situation that you call life's great story, I've turned it all over. Sing it with me. Well, we've turned it all over to him. Oh, we've turned it all over to him. This situation that you call life great story, we've turned it all over. Sing it one more time. I turned it all over to him. I turned it all over to him. This situation that you call life's great story, I've turned it. Sing it one more time. Sing it with me. We've turned it all over. We've turned it all over to him. This situation that you call life's great story, we've turned it all over. Let's give the Lord another hand, can we? Hallelujah. We've turned it all over to him. God is good. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? They'll come from the east and the west. They've come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine, they're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. For they'll come from the east and the west. They've come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine, they're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. As I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Sing it with me. For after all, this life is over. Run, my burdens have been lifted. And I stand upon the mountain, also looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing that with me?
For after all, life is over. And I stand upon the mountain, also whole, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith. Can you sing it with me one more time? For after all life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so cold, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. You love the Lord? Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore.
The Bible said, when the mystery of God is finished, the angel shall stand with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, lift up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And the mysteries of God are being finished. They're being finished. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, caught up into heaven. And the mystery of God is being finished. No doubt about it. There's no question about it. The mystery of God is being finished, which means that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And as we saw the vision where the great millennium come in, it was after that we had saw the spinning around, which I believe has to do with the propellers of these things, of our trips and our evangelizing around the world, as these crusades. And the coming of the Lord is at hand. That's why that the message is coming forth as to a spotless bride, as one that has come to perfection. For these things has never been taught before. Never in the pages of history are they recorded anywhere before. But he said, I will send you the latter rain. And in the time of the latter rain, ask of me, and I will make bright clouds. This could not come until the latter rain, because the latter rain is what brings the harvest. It always brings the harvest. And that means that the latter rain that's coming upon you now, this latter rain is what's going to bring you out into the translation of Almighty God. This is the translation of the church. And this message will translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, the Lord of glory will appear. That's why it's so important that you listen, to take heed. The Bible said, how that you hear. And then the Bible said that when you hear this, that you're to incorporate in your life. Be careful how that you hear these things, and give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Not everybody that hears this will go in the translation. Because having ears, they hear not. And having eyes, they see not. Though they hear the vocal expressions of the minister, yet they do not hear the voice of the Spirit. Having ears, they cannot hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But the Bible said, let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And having eyes, Jesus said, you see not. He stood before the crowd and he said, concerning God, said, you have never, never seen his form or his image at any time. Because God is a spirit, the Son of God that dwells in the bosom of God hath declared him. And it's up to us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, not as natural eyes or ears, eyes that is to see in this world, but eyes, ears to see and to hear in the spirit world. Those that have those kind of eyes and ears in the spirit world, they are the children of the Spirit, and they're the children of the next world, the glory world, the glorious world. And they are sons and daughters of God. They are kings. They are great, mighty kings. The Bible said God hath made us kings and priests unto our God. So then we are his sons. And he said, I will make all the world come to kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. For the Lord of hosts shall appear suddenly in his temple, whose temples ye are. So then, let's remember that tonight. Let's lift our hands up to love the Lord. And let's thank him tonight. Let's examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. For the Bible said, in the latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are devils that preach. They have their own doctrine. And they give heed. People give heed to doctrines of devils. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And we're living in the age when many are departing from the word of God. They've got all kind of translations of the Bibles and new translations. And they've got a whole bunch of garbage that they are trying to believe. And they change the word of God, the Bible said, into a lie. And they've got all kind of books and all kind of things that is erred from the word of God. Many shall depart from the word of God. In that faith cometh by the hearing of the word, many shall depart from the faith. And it tells us to examine ourselves and see if we're in the word of God. Or that is, if our faith is in the word of God. Or it says, examine yourself and see if you're in the faith, which cometh by the hearing of the word of God. You can believe anything. You can believe what people say. You can believe heresies. You can believe what's been handed down through the family. Or you can go to the word of God and learn the word of God and believe the word of God and be found in the faith of the word of God. So then what you believe, you practice. And the writer said, show me your faith without doing anything to conform to godliness, and I'll show you my faith by what I do to conform to the word of God. So show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So tonight, while we're standing here, have you got works with your faith? Otherwise, your faith is dead. Are you listening to the word to do the thing that pleases God, to conform to the ways of God? If you are, then that means that you are a Christian. That means that God loves you, and he'll make you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, even to a greater mind and a greater understanding as you allow this mind of Christ to be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So while we're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up if he will. And as Richard comes to pray with us tonight, I want you to think this over. Speaking of the Jews, those that were referred to as the Jews, the Bible said if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world as to the revival to the Gentiles, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Folks, the Jews are getting ready to come in. I talked to some of them when I was over there. I talked to some of the young Jews, some of the young soldiers, and they gladly receive our literature concerning this gospel. I handed one of our trips, I walked up to the back of a military truck. There's military men and women all over the place over there with guns because of the problems. And I went to hand this boy a tract, and he looked at me and grinned. Fine-looking young fellow. He said, "I'm a Christian." And he had given his heart to God. But he didn't want them around him to know, because he was one of the soldiers there, and no telling what they would have done to him. But he wanted me to know that he loved Jesus. We met another fine-looking young fellow that was in command, as far as I know, over there in the Army. We met him on this trip, and he also was moved by this. Also, I was in Kenya. We met a young movie star out of India that was moved by this, that invited some of us to come to his home and be his guest if we come back into India. We meet all kind of people, celebrities, movie stars, and presidents. A few days back, traveling, we met Jimmy Carter on the plane going over. And yesterday it was, the Lord spoke to me about us crossing paths with Mr. George Bush. So the Lord is doing something. There's plans. He's got plans. The Lord blessed Mr. Reagan while he was in office to receive one of our church flags and cherished it and responded, telling us how grateful he was to have it. The flag that declares that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. All right, as Brother Richard prays with you, remember me, remember my wife, and you don't have anything to do, remember us and pray for us, because we are continually praying for you and for your children. I saw Sister Frances in church tonight. She called, I believe it was this morning, and she said, "Brother Pike," she said, "this has never happened to me in my life, that Satan is trying to kill me." And she said that she explained to me that she was just dying. And we prayed for her. She took faith and courage, and immediately God broke it off of her. And she was in church tonight. The Bible said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." We've also been praying for Brother Bullitt, who's been weeping, been torn up and broken up. He was down at my house this morning crying, and we prayed for him. And he was going over to the doctor for a checkup, and he's been in a dying condition, but so far, the checkup has come out real good. He's got to go back for another checkup or two, but he was rejoicing over the fact that the Lord is blessing him. So many times in so many places around the world, God does this. I trust that Sister Darlene's daddy is better. He had a heart attack. I prayed for him in the early morning when Darlene called, because I was moving around before daylight, and I trust that he's better. I don't know whether she's heard from him or not. Also, have you heard anything from him, Darlene? Hadn't heard anything? Okay, and also we was praying for Brother Kenny today. He came over, Brother Kenny Bundy came over, was up in Bill's office, and he was crying and weeping, was praying for him today. He said he's getting better. All right, so let's lift our hands up together. Let's love the Lord tonight as our brother comes.